हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Okay. Yeah, sorry about it. Somehow or another just ended at 7:30 instead of going to 1:45. But the current went off anyway, so we only got a couple more minutes. Also, one thing on that last point is that we say God's there, but there's no energies. Then why is the Shema, why does it use the word Elohim? You know, that meaning the God with, you know, his energies. You know, he's one, but he's Elohim. Echad, but Elohim. So those two, you know, you have to appreciate that. How is it that you have both of those? So that's the thing. That's why Achintya Veda Tattva perfectly explains all this. And without that, then, you know, they're going to, how do you say, worry their poor little heads about all this kind of stuff. Does that make sense? No, you're not
Yes,
there.
Maharaj means Elohai, it's a God with his energy.
Echad is the Lord. The Lord is one, right? But it's Elohim.
Yes, the
Adonai
role Elohim.
Elohim. Adonai Echad. Adonai means God Elohim. And Adonai Echad. So you have both of them. So the point is, he has his energies, but he's one. So the point is, it's a very nice point, and that verse is the core of all their Siddhanta. All other verses have to be in line with the Shemas, right? And so there, that one establishes the philosophy. Then the one about you know, seeing the Lord, you know, at whatever you're doing, whether you're sitting, walking, talking, doing, you should see it in connection with the Lord. And you should always, you know, you need to identify your house, identify yourself, identify everything with the Lord. You know, so then you're going to see is, you know, how you're going to, you're trying to understand all these things. So we see is that there's this very nice elements of the philosophy of that. But at the same time, as they get so distracted by fruit of results, that they, you know, miss these whole points. So to establish their fruit of results, they try to look at the philosophy in a different way.
Guru Maharaj, Christian theologians, they gave interpretation that Elohim was written because they predicted God Father, God Son, and God and Holy Spirit idea. And Muslim theologians, they consider that such as a proof that Bible was full of mistakes because God only one. And I don't remember what Jewish
Well, the
theologians.
thing is, that's the thing is that if you take mundane consciousness, then you're always going to, and mundane logic, you're always going to have problems. But the point is, the Shastra is there, then you have to do. Because the point is if it doesn't have a foundation, then Mohammedans don't have a basis either. Because if the Bible's wrong, the Bible's talking about God, that there's one God, how do you know like that, and that there's a connection there? So if it doesn't, if it's mistaken, then they're mistaken.
They considered that because of time, people during the long period of time, they rewrote Bible with their own interpretation. They changed the verses. It's not correct.
Yeah, but the point is, as you see, is that the scholars, they exactly as it's written, they put it. When they copy it, they copy it one letter at a time. Even though the guy has the whole thing memorized, he still looks, sees it, writes. Looks, sees it, writes. Like that. So it means they can say it's this and that, but why do that? Why try to do that? Otherwise, then what is right?
Guru Maharaj, I want also to ask, you know, the modern researchers, they consider that in Bible, this Elohim and Yahweh names of God, because the Bible was written, the four parts of Bible was written by different personalities, and they gave concept that it was one of them wrote Yahwist part, second Elohist, fourth priest codex, and the last about I forgot name in English, and they consider that first source was written in the ancient time, and there is God as a person, as Yahweh. Second part, Elohist, was written in the next time, and that's why God is not like a person, more impersonal, like Elohim. And then they told the last part, priest codex, was more ritualistic, because it was written by ritualists. We can't, it suggests they, how to say, theoretical idea, but we don't have proofs. But can we as devotees use this theory, or we should accept that Bible was not changed?
Why would it be? The Torah is there, it's one book. People like to say everything. It's just like in the modern researchers will say that the Vedic literatures are all interpolated, like Manusamhita, the opening chapter, then it talks about creation and this and that. And so by modern researchers, they have, you know, because they have no idea of the Vedic version. So they'll say, oh, but this is not dealing with law. So this must have all been added. So basically the concept of interpolation is always used to when you don't understand what's going on. So you just say, oh, it's interpolated. In other words, if my logic doesn't understand it, it must be interpolation. Rather than, no, it's Shastra. You have to adjust your understanding to what Shastra says. So they're unwilling to do that.
Mm-hmm. So then we can, in our case, we can say that Bible also has different levels of explanation of God.
That's there, but the point is God has unlimited names, so they're fighting over four different names that it's all different times, this and that. It's kind of like, even in the material world, one guy has so many names. So it's like, you know, so it's just that due to karma and jnana, they've kind of lost their insight of what's going on. That was the whole point, is that then somebody comes along and tries to breathe into it some devotional understanding, but you know, that's not appreciated, because you bring out the devotional understanding, then those who are ritualistic, you know, or the, what do you call it? The sadducees, they won't like it, because for them, you do the ritual perfectly and all that, and they maintain themselves by doing the rituals. And then the Pharisees, then, you know, they don't want to have to be bound by all that, so they kind of want to adjust it how they want, how they feel. And so they're not going to like the concepts of pure devotion either. So both of them will have a problem. So that's the thing. Those who are the karma, those who are the jnana, they both have a problem. Like that. So it's, you know, like that. So that's just part of the, you know, part of the difficulty. When you're dealing on the material platform, they can't understand these things.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj.
So Chaitanya Upanayanam, Prarthana, Narottam Das Thakur's. So song 42, Hari Hari Ki Mora Karma Anurata. Hari Hari Ki Mora Karma Anurata. Vishaye kutila matis, satsange nahaila rati, kishe ar kari bada pata. Oh Lord Hari, such a strong attachment I have developed for fruitive activities. Due to material enjoyment, I have become crippled minded and have no attraction for associating with devotees. How will I need to live? Okay, so crippled minded means the mind can only go to what is going to make your material activities, your material enjoyment nicely. So you see that you have one principle, and then you'll see everything connected with that. So in other words, I will make plans and decisions based on, does it give me more enjoyment or not? Like that. And that material enjoyment can be, I get material enjoyment, or family and friends get material, community or nation, but it's still about the enjoyment. So we see is this aspect of the, anamoya, this dharmartha kama, that aspect is where it's directed. I perform dharma, I get facilities, artha, with that artha, I can enjoy kama. Like that, so I become crippled-minded. So we don't think about associating devotees, because like we said, the devotees are saying, it's not about your sense of enjoyment. It's about the Lord's sense of enjoyment. So that's going to be very different. So I look at it that these activities I'm doing for my sense of enjoyment. So therefore, if we're working for God's sense of enjoyment, then the activities must be completely different. But they don't have to be different. It means if they're proper, if they're appropriate, approved by Shastra, they don't have to be different. It's just who's going to enjoy it. That's what changes. You know, it's just like you're doing something for yourself, then, you know, it follows a particular pattern and all that. And that works very nicely. But if you, if you're doing it, let's say, for a friend, let's say you cook something for yourself, you make a sandwich for yourself. It was really nice. Then your friend comes over and you want to make him that same sandwich. It's not that the technique changes. By doing something for someone else, the technique doesn't change, as long as it's something that the person appreciates. Right? You know, so therefore, then, when you're dealing with the Lord, that it's already been established what he likes and what he doesn't like. You know, it's given in the Shastras, the Acharyas, they make the comments. And so food's in the mode of goodness, that can be offered to the Lord. So as long as the food you're cooking is in the mode of goodness, it doesn't change. Your technique doesn't have to change. It's not that your chance becomes bigger or smaller, or you don't make a chance anymore, or, you know, things like that. It all stays the same. So that's the whole point, is that the devotees are going to tell us that what you're doing, you have to adjust that. And what do you have to adjust to? Mentality. It's much easier to adjust a form. Just like someone goes from one religion to another, but their mentality doesn't necessarily change at all. Or you go from one form of sense enjoyment to another, but the mentality of enjoying the senses doesn't change. Right? You know, it's like someone's into eating. Let's say he's into eating Oriental food, and someone else says, no, Mexican's where it's at. So now you're eating Mexican food. That enjoyment is still, sensual enjoyment remains. So it's not that there's any difference there. So, but, so the difficulty is because we want that result for ourselves. And so then bhakti is, the results know it's for Krishna. And so therefore the recommended activities, those remain the same. Just now, instead of doing it with attachment for your own sense enjoyment, you do it with detachment for the pleasure of Krishna. Right? So the detachment means I will do it very nicely. And I mean, I will do it, you know, how you say, without being distracted by my own mind, I'll be able to do the knowledge and skills very properly. You know, it means technically. But because I'm doing it to please Krishna, I'm going to be focused so that I do it my best so that I get the best result. Because sometimes you see is that only when it's for themselves, they pay attention. And when it's, you know, it's just for Krishna, then they don't care because it's they're not attached. So then they become whimsical. So this particular balance, you know, one becomes crippled-minded and one can't see things properly. So by attraction for associating with devotees, then we can start to see things in their proper perspective. Otherwise, then we can't get them. Swarup Sanatana Rupa Raghuna Bhata Juga Lokanath Siddhanta Sagara Shunitam Seshabakata Guchita Manera Pyata Tabe Bhalo Hailo Antara. If only I could hear the conclusion set forth by Srila Sutamada Goswami, Srila Sanatana Goswami, Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, Srila Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, and Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and Srila Lokanath Goswami, then the internal pains of my heart will be cured. Right? Because the conclusions, that's what's going to move it forward. It means you talk about the technique, it's important. But if you don't understand the conclusion, then the technique's going to be harder to apply. Because if you know what it's for, then you know how to go about it. If you don't know what it's for, how do you adjust? So if you always know what you, because if you just know the ritual, I do this, let's say, you know, I put this here. My hand goes out, I put it down there. But the problem is if somebody moves this, I'll go like this, and then what's there? So it goes there, so then I'll put it on the floor. Rather than saying, okay, then I'll put it over here on this table. So, because you're not understanding. No, you put it in a convenient place. So the conclusion is always important, because then you actually understand the Sambandha Abhideya Prabhupada. You know who you are, who God is, you know, and what the connection is, what the process is, what the result is. Then you can very clearly judge that if what I'm doing, is it following in that line? Is it getting that result? And if it is, very good. And if it's not, we have a problem. Then the internal pain of the heart will be cured. Otherwise, then what just means it will always be beneficial if we're engaged in devotional service. But that creep in a mentality, that crippled-mindedness of that speculation, that miserliness, all these different things, because we think there might be some other options that are there, when it's actually, no, this is what's meant. This is what we're supposed to do. Jakana Gaura Nityananda Advaitari Bhakta Vrinda Nadiya Nagare Avatar Takan Na Hoila Janma Eve Deke Kiba Karma. Micha Matra Bahi Firi Bhara. I did not take birth when Gaura Nityananda and the devotees, headed by Advaita Prabhu, appeared in Nadia. What is the use of my body now? I am simply carrying the burden. Right? Because, in other words, the body is then seen as a burden, when it's just the body needs so many things. You have to do so many things. So it takes so much energy and everything. So if you identify with the body, you think, I'm doing things for myself. And, you know, there's always a satisfaction. I'm doing things for myself. I'm accomplishing things for myself. Well, when you understand you're the soul and not the body, having to put so much energy into the body becomes a problem, becomes a burden. Right? Because the point of the body is to use in Krishna's service. And if you have to do so much to do the service, then you see it's a distraction. So it's not that it's not done. It's just that then you see is that these things could be, it means they are indirect activities rather than direct. I could just sit and chant. But because when I sit and chant, I get hungry, I get tired, I have to take a bath, I have to go to the toilet, all these different things. So it distracts from that. No one can always in those things chant in that. And by doing those, they support your position so you can chant. But you see is that when these devotees come to that very advanced platform, then they could just sit and chant 24 hours. But because of the circumstances around, then it gets disturbed. But they engage all that in the Lord's service. So taking a bath, then yes, you're taking a bath, you know, it brings freshness and health to the body, to the mind, and all these things. But you can also take a bath to go out, you know, out to the nightclub, like this. So the point is the result of the bath, not directly in contact with Krishna and Krishna's satisfaction. The result of the bath is something that can be engaged in Krishna's service. So they have such a taste for these direct activities that the indirect activities are not so important. But we see in the spiritual world, because here there's a difference between the body and the soul. And then the body needs all kinds of things that you wouldn't need on the spiritual platform. The spiritual platform, they don't require eating, sleeping, these aren't required. You can just be engaged in service. But as Yogamaya Arrangia said, you have the pastimes unfolding during the day, different things. So at this time, then they all take rest. At this time, they go out. At this time, they sit and eat. But it's just the service. They don't need to eat. They have a spiritual form. But that eating is a medium by which they can have rasa in exchange. So therefore, it becomes a very wonderful part. So the culture and all that, the secondary, become non-different from the primary. So you don't make a distinction. But here in the material world, one has to make a distinction, because unless one's on that platform, that Uttama platform, where everything is connected to Krishna, and you're just seeing it like that, then you can get distracted by the secondary. So you have to be very, very careful that the secondary is being performed properly. You have the qualifications, you're doing things properly, and you are seeing that you are fully engaged in the Lord's service. Haridasa adi bhule, mahotsava adi kare, na herinu se shuka bilas. Ki mora dukera kata janama goinu brita dik dik narotamo das. I could not see the ecstatic pastimes of Haridas Thakur and other wonderful festivals performed by the Vaishnavas. Narottam Das says, shame on me, shame on me. I have passed my life uselessly. Yeah, so he's just saying, I wasn't able to be there for these pastimes. I didn't have that piety. You know, I wasn't on that devotional platform to be counted as the associates of the Lord so that I could come there and be there for these pastimes. You know, so shame on me that I have appeared in a particular situation because of my previous material activities, you know, or distraction like that. And so like this, and the devotee thinks is that, you know, these are very fortunate things. And so then what are you going to do? Right? What are you going to do? Then you're going to move forward in Krishna consciousness, because on the material platform, there is nothing to do. There's only the aspect of engaging your present situation in the Lord's service. Song 43, Vaishnava Mahima, glorification of the devotees. So this is what you're going to do. Right? Thakur Vaishnava Pada Ava Nira Su Sampara Shuna Bhai Haya Haya Eka Mano Ashraya Laiya Bhaje Tare Krishna Nahi Tyaje Arashava Mare Akaran. The lotus feet of the saintly Vaishnavas are the greatest wealth in this world. Oh my dear brothers, please listen attentively. One who takes shelter of the Vaishnava and worships Krishna is never forsaken by Krishna. Others die without reason. Right? Because others are just carrying the body, and then, you know, what benefit they got. But the devotees, they're engaged in the Lord's service, serving the Vaishnavas, you know, serving Krishna, right? You know, servant. And by that, then their life has value. Yeah, because Krishna never forsakes the devotees. Devotees may have problems and this and that, but you see is that from that, then they are able to purify themselves and move forward in Krishna consciousness. Vaishnava, Vaishnava charana jal, prema bhakti dite bal, ara keha nahe balavant, balavanta. Vaishnava charana renu, mastake bhushana bhinu, ara nahi bhushanera anta. The water that has washed the feet of a Vaishnava gives divine strength to a person engaged in loving service. Nothing else is more powerful than this. The dust of the feet of the Vaishnava upon my head is the only decoration needed at the time of death. Right, so I think it's the... So the dust from the lotus feet, the water that's washed the lotus feet, then these are considered extremely powerful elements like that. That by that, because the point is you are taking shelter of the lotus feet of the devotees. By taking shelter of them, then they're serving Krishna. You follow them. That way you're engaged in service. Right? Like just say, for instance, let us say, the Vaishnavas are traveling, are going to Vrindavan on the train. And you're just coming along to assist them on the train. Right? You're doing service on that train. But in the sense, while you're doing service to them, you're also going to Vrindavan. They're going to Vrindavan, you're serving them. That way, you're also going to Vrindavan. Yeah. Yeah, it's the only decoration needed at the time of death. Tirtha jal pavitra guna, liki yache purane, se sabha bhaktira pravachana. Vaishnavera pado daka sama nahe e shavo, jate haya vanchita purana. The purifying qualities of the water of the holy places are mentioned in the Puranas and at every discourse on bhakti. However, the water from the feet of a Vaishnava cannot be compared with water from even the holy places. One's desires are fulfilled by taking this water. So, by taking shelter of the lotus feet, the bodhis, that's the important thing. That's why it says that when you go to the holy place, if in going there you only took a bath and all that and did all the appropriate rituals, but you didn't actually go and hear from devotees and associate with them, render service, then you've not gotten any more benefit from going to the holy place than a cow or an ass would. Right? The cow or an ass, they're moving around the dom. They're taking bath in the water there, so like that. And so it's glorious, but you won't get any more than that, right? By the animals living in the dam, they get purified and everything, they'll get liberated. So you'll get that, but you get the real benefit beyond that when you hear from the Vaishnavas, when you serve the Vaishnavas, right? That's the... Vaishnava sangete mana anandita anu kshana sada hoya Krishna para sanga dina narotamo kande hiya dharya nahi bande mora dasa kena haila banga. By associating with the Vaishnavas, one feels blissful discussing the topics of Lord Krishna. Becoming impatient due to forgetfulness of Krishna, Narottam Das thus laments. But as we forget Krishna, we become impatient. We remember Krishna, then we're fully absorbed. So because remembering Krishna, we're satisfied. Forgetting Krishna, then we become impatient. So we think we're chanting and that, but we get impatient, I want to do this and that, because at that moment, we're forgetting Krishna. It says, oh, but I'm chanting. Why am I impatient? Because you're forgetting Krishna while you're chanting. Well, if you're remembering Krishna, are absorbed in the name, you know, absorbed in the instructions of the acharyas, then we're very, very comfortable.
Maharaj?
Yes.
So we see here in connection that Lord, when he comes, I mean, as the Paramatma, as the shelter and source, he always gives that opportunity for a living entity to move up from ignorance to passion to goodness and then to come to the pure goodness. So there are places, tirthas and all like that. But then, as we saw in the Paramatma Sandarbha, but the whole purpose is Bhagavan, that Bhagavan comes and he comes and he is interacting with the devotees and the rest of the things are just happening. So that's why the devotees then occupy the prominent role even within the material creation, because that's what the material world is ultimately meant for. And that's why anybody who comes in touch with the devotees of the Lord, then they don't function in the not whatever the normal procedure of moving from goodness, passion to goodness like that and going beyond, but directly connected to Bhagavan, and then it goes in a different dimension.
Yes, yes. Because the for the karmis, they're in the mode of ignorance, so they regulate the mode of ignorance, and by doing that, they slowly, after many, many lifetimes, come to passion. They do that and regulate it according to Shastra. Many, many lifetimes come to goodness and do that for many, many lifetimes, and then, you know, something goes wrong and they go back to ignorance, you know. So point is that it goes that but the devotee, by cultivating pure goodness, they're already moving from ignorance to passion to goodness and to pure goodness. But by cultivating pure goodness, so they don't have to cultivate within the modes. That's why it's not important. We're not trying to bring people up in the modes and trying to establish goodness and stuff like this. It's no. But is it your job to do that? Is that what you've been told to do? Who told you to elevate these people to goodness? Who told you? Right? Is there an authority for it? Right? If there's not, how can you say that you're acting in goodness? It means if you're not acting in goodness, then how can you say I'm bringing people to goodness? Right? If you're not in goodness, your endeavor is not in goodness, why will it bring others to? You know, it's one thing if the activity is authorized, that this is what you're supposed to do. And even if you do that activity for others' benefit, but you yourself, your consciousness is not good, still they'll get benefit because it's an authorized thing and it's used in an authorized way. They'll still get benefit. Now, the more you're situated, the more benefit they'll get. But even if you're not so well, they'll still get benefit because it's authorized. But if it's not authorized, where does Prabhupada say bring people to the mode of goodness? And that as a goal. Where? No place. So it's not authorized. But it's natural for those who are engaged in pure goodness to situate themselves on the platform of goodness. Because goodness means I do my duties without attachment. Right? And those duties are recommended by Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And so therefore, what the Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra recommends, that's what we do. And we try to do that without attachment and to please Krishna. So even though we may have our motives, this and that, we're still situated nicely in the position to function in pure goodness, even though we may not, but it'll gradually bring us there. So that's why I said, like you were saying, it's a different path. It's the same path, but they don't have to deal with all the different things that everybody else does. Everyone else does to go, you know, exactly, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, like that. But we use the system like the children do. You know? Okay, can you count to 100? Yes, yes. Okay, let's hear it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 100. So that's the path we follow.
Also, it's mentioned about primary and secondary actions of time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when we are in connection with the devotees, then we come under the primary function of time, which is to assist the Lord's pastimes.
Mm.
But secondary function is how the creation is maintained and all.
Mm.
So, okay. Though the time is the same, then you are moving into the primary function instead of secondary.
Okay, so that also means the activities you have primary and secondary. Those that are directly connected to the Lord, that's primary. Those that have another object other than the Lord as their initial, their immediate result, those are secondary. If you connect. Okay. So then that means, yeah, so time is the action, so it will also have the same principle. Okay. Yeah, place also, then whatever it directly connects it or doesn't. So. Okay. Nice. Song 44. Vaishnava Vigyati, prayer to the Vaishnavas. Thakur Vaishnava Gana Kari, E Nibedana, Mo Badha Adhama Durachar. Daruna samsara niti tate dubhaila viti keshe dhari more kara para. O saintly Vaishnava, please hear my prayer. I am the most wretched and fallen soul, drowning in this formidable ocean by providence. Please help me to cross over this ocean by grabbing me by the hair of my head and pulling me out. Yeah, so... I mean, so that's why you see is that we have a particular kind of hairstyle that we have. You know, you're in the material ocean. And so if you're in the ocean here, then, you know, on the top of your head would be up. And then you have a sika, you pull, you know, like there. And ladies, they keep the full head of hair, but it's considered like the sika. You know, so they braid it and all that. So it becomes the same thing. So it can be pulled out. Now, if you're following this new fashion where you shave your head clean and just keep this weirdo long beard, then that means you have to reach farther down and grab you by the chin to pull you out. So, you know, why give Krishna so much trouble? Why give the Vaishnavas trouble?
And also, you'll be upside down when you're being pulled.
Yeah. it'll be weird, you know. Like you see the picture of Krishna with Garuda and pulling you out, you know, sitting there like that. So, yeah, it'll be something out of those, you know, the Renaissance paintings, you know, like that, where everybody's in these weird positions. So, yeah. So, yeah. Vidhi bada palavan na sune karama jnana sadai karama pashe bhante. Na deki tarana lesha, jata deki shava klesha, anata katare teni kande. The laws of providence are so powerful that they do not consider religion or knowledge. Rather, they bind one with the ropes of karma. I do not find any source of deliverance from these miserable conditions. And I always lament because I am afflicted by this and I am without a master. But so you're following your religious principles, you are having your knowledge and all that, but if you're engaged in this material mentality, then you're still going to get material effects. Doesn't matter how nice, how religious, how nice you follow, how much the knowledge, it's still, the consciousness is still going to dictate what results you get. Right, because we see as before when we're talking for the monomoy, for the theistic moralist, now that platform, that's a platform. Then you can use that in three ways, right? You can use it for karma. I follow the laws of God to get results from God, right? He is supreme, and I'm you know, small, but he is the giver. I'm the receiver. I do the work, you know, I submit, but he gives the blessings. Or then you can use it in the impersonal, you know, in which you're going to then try to attain to that position of absolute by renouncing all activity, all moralism, all of these aspects. But, and so your concept of God becomes impersonal, and then you get a temporary benefit again. Or you can use it for bhakti. Right, that I perform my religious activities without attachment for the results, knowing I'm the soul, to please Krishna, because as the soul, I'm servant of God. So the one, they don't emphasize the soul. They think I'm the enjoyer. The other one, they know they're the soul, but they're the enjoyer. Right? So one uses it for themselves. One rejects it for themselves. But the devotee uses everything for Krishna, knowing I'm the soul servant of Krishna. So you see his bhakti already contains all the appropriate parts of whatever's there. And so then here, then when we take shelter of the Vaishnavas, then we have direction, then we know what to do. Then we can overcome these miserable conditions. Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, abhina, abhimana, saha, apana, 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 stana, tane, aichana, amara, mana, fide, jena, anda, jana, supata, vipata, nahi, jane. Lust, anger, greed, illusion, pride are pulling me to their respective places. Thus, my mind is like a blind man without any sense of discrimination. Yeah, because when these come up, lust, anger, greed, illusion, pride, like that, then we don't necessarily consider the proper performance of religion or knowledge. We just follow the senses. Right? Whatever is the benefit I'll get from it, we take. Na lainu sat mata asate majila chita tuya paye na karino asha narotama dase kaya deki shuni lage bhaya taraila na taraya laha nija pash. My mind did not accept the path of the devotees. I was absorbed in bad association. Narottam Das says, I did not aspire for your lotus feet, O Lord. Please accept me and keep me at your lotus feet as I am afraid. Right? So we surrender to the Lord, and by that grace of surrender, then by Krishna's grace, one is able to surrender to the devotees. We were surrendered to Krishna, why wouldn't we be surrendered to those connected? 745. Right? So the path that the devotees take, bad association. I didn't take all those to that for just it distracts them. You know, you're doing what you should do, it's there, you don't, and Maya is waiting. So in other words, when you're facing Krishna, Maya is behind. But as soon as you turn away from Krishna, she's right there. Does that make sense? So if you're facing Krishna, it's fine. But as soon as you turn around, the first thing that's there is Maya. And then her point is, you know, step right in. Welcome. Psalm 45. E bara karuna koro karuna Vaishnava gosai. E bara karuna koro Vaishnava gosai. Patita Pavana Toma Bine Keno Nai. O Vaishnava Gosai, please be merciful to me at least this one time. Except for you, there is no one who can purify the fallen souls. Jahara Nikate Gele Papa Dure Jai. Emana Doyala Prabhu Keva Kota Pai. Where can anyone find such a merciful personality by whose mere audience all sins go far away? Gauranga parasa haila paschate pavano darshane pavitra kara e tomara guna. After bathing the waters of the sacred Ganges many times, one becomes purified, but just by the sight of you, the fallen souls become purified. That is a great quality, right? So, mere audience, all sins go away, right? So bathing in the Ganga many times, you get benefit. It means you'll get benefit. Like you see, there's some devotees that they have a determination to take bath every day or twice a day, or one was three times a day in the Ganga every day, you know, summer, winter, everything. And you see with time, in the beginning, you don't see much difference, but after months, after years, you see quite a change in their whole mood, like that. And so then, that's he says that this is your great quality. So just the sight of the audience of just hearing something from that, then that one becomes purified. Hari stane aparadhe tare harinam tomastane aparadhe nahika han. The holy name can deliver anyone who commits offense to Lord Hari, but if someone commits an offense to you, there's no means of deliverance. Right, so offending the holy name, then you can continue chanting the holy name and you get deliverance. But if one offends the Vaishnavas, then what's the means to deliver? Like that, unless going and surrendering to the Vaishnava and getting that person. Tomara hridaye sada govinda vishnam govinda kahina mama vaishnava paran. Govinda is always resting in your heart. So Govinda says, the Vaishnavas are my heart. Right? So here we have that aspect of what we were talking about before, is where you see in some situations they're talking about the Lord as Paramatma, you know, as Purusha avatars, and that. And another point you're talking about is Bhagavan, because it just depends upon how you're dealing with it. Right? You deal formally with the Lord, he'll deal formally. You're dealing, you know, with affection, he'll reciprocate that affection. So here is that Govinda is always resting in your heart. It's not saying Paramatma is resting. So Govinda is resting. So when you're always seeing that Krishna is in the heart, he's dealing, then Krishna reciprocates that way. So that's why there's a distinction, but there's no distinction. So Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, they're one, but at the same time, they have different features. So you know the features, but you don't make too much of a distinction. So that's the thing. Either we make no distinction, or we make too much distinction. So that's the thing, is that balance, or the distinction and non-distinction are simultaneously functioning. Prati janme kare asha charanera duli narotame kara doya apanara bali. I desire the dust of your holy feet in every birth I take. Please consider Narottam Das yours and be kind upon me. Yeah, in all the places where it says the das after Narottam, I think it's always supposed to be small. Because most of the time it is, but occasionally it's a capital. I think two or three songs back it was capital.
Okay, Mike.
Yeah, so birth after birth, one always wants to be the servant of the spiritual master, servant of the Vaishnavas. One doesn't have any other purpose. You know, it's just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, says, you know, I'd rather be born as a bug in the house of a Vaishnava, a pure Vaishnava, than be born as Lord Brahma and not be a devotee. So that association of Vaishnavas is most important. That's what makes everything wonderful. So he's saying, birth after birth, whatever the situation, wherever you go, you always want to be in the association of the spiritual master and the Vaishnava. Song 46. Ki rupe paiva seva mui durachar. Ki rupe paiva seva mui durachar. Sri Guru Vaishnave rati na hoila amar. Since I have no attachment for my spiritual master and Vaishnavas, and I am very sinful, how will I be able to serve you? Asesha mayate mana magana hoila Vaishnavete lesha matra. Rati na janmila. My mind is absorbed in countless illusory activities. It has no tinge of affection for the Vaishnavas. Vishaya bhuliya andha haino diva nishi gale fasha dite fire maya se pisachi. The witch Maya has returned with a rope to tie my neck. I have become blinded by material sense of enjoyment. Right, because you mentioned before is that one is there is that Krishna, it means Krishna is by his mercy has tied a rope around his neck of his mercy and taken us to Vrindavan. Then we get to Vrindavan, we're so happy that Maya comes and ties that and throws us in a well. You know. So the whole point is she has her own. She has her own way she finds us. So our connection to Krishna, then she'll undo that and take us to Maya. But the point is that we're determined we want to serve. But we stay in the association of the Vaishnavas. Then we see, yes, we want to do this. We don't want to do that. There's no advantage through the material. Ihare kariya jaya chandana na jaya sadhu kripa bina ara nahika upai. Without the mercy of the devotees, no one can conquer, give up, maya. Oh, it's chadana, not chandana, chadana.
Maharaj?
Mean giving up. Yeah. Yes.
Here we also see in these songs, like, it's not just describing some particular stages, but the mood by which one can actually cross all the stages and go beyond. Like, for example, sometimes when we describe some stages with Anartha Nivritti and all, we only describe at this stage this happens, this stage this happens. But actual mood of a devotee is when it is expressed here, it's that mood which takes you beyond. It's nothing about the knowledge itself.
Yes.
That is surrender and submissiveness. That is expressed.
So what was that last point you said there? I didn't.
Here, it's not just the points that are mentioned, the whole mood by which you can, you know, go through the different stages is also given along with the knowledge of how to proceed.
Yes, that's the point is that these songs, they're Abhideya. And there is the attitude aspect of it and how that mood, because if the mood is right, the action will be correct. Just like you see the child has a very nice mood, even though their actions may not be technically very good or their results are fabulous. Like, you know, kids do artwork, you know, they have the piece of paper, they take the brush, you know, they don't hold it nicely like this. They just grab it, they stick it in there and they go like this and that. And then when you sit and ask them, and then they give it. It's nice, and they want to give it to you. And what is it? Oh, this is this one, this is that one, this is the sun, this is, you know, this is all kinds of far-out stuff. So, but the point is, the attitude is right. So them doing that artwork, trying to do it nicely like that, they get the same benefit as someone who's, you know, in their skills is very professional and does a nice painting for Krishna, you know, like that, they get the same benefit. You know, they may have only spent 5 minutes, so they'll get that 5 minutes, while the other one may have spent 3 months, so they'll get 3 months of benefit. But the point is the value of it, of what they're getting moment for moment, is the same, is the attitude. So this attitude is the important aspect. That's what then makes it stand out on what makes someone a Vaishnav as someone who's a religious person, is that the activities look the same, right? So that's the point, is when religion is used to serve the Lord for Krishna's pleasure, that then becomes the perfection of religion. Then it's properly engaged. But otherwise, then it's you know, it's nice, it's pious, it's a good thing, but it'll only get you material good things. But when you use it for Krishna, so it's the attitude that changes, the intent. So that's what you have to see. Is so much of the time we look at the form of it, when it, you have to see is what's the attitude. Now, if the attitude matches the form's wrong and the attitude's wrong, then you know, well, that's what it's there. Because many times that improper form means the attitude's wrong. But sometimes it's just someone doesn't know or is not very expert, and so attitude's right, and so therefore then you correct the form. So that's there, if the attitude is there. So that's what makes it special about the devotees, the Gaudiyas, is that depending upon the attitude, then that takes you to a particular place, a particular result, a particular association. So wanting to associate with those Vaishnavas that are the servants of Lord Chaitanya and servants of Lord Chaitanya, that takes you to a very specific place. And so that kind of aspect is desired. So that doesn't mean that one doesn't follow things nicely, but you know that it's the attitude that's important in following things nicely. We think, oh, it's just the attitude. We don't need to do the ritual. Or then the smartness, or we do the ritual. You know, what does it matter? The attitude. I did the ritual, I get the result. You know, just like if I cook the preparation, I follow the recipe exactly, I get the result. It looks perfect. But whether it has any flavor or anything like that, that's another thing. You know, and someone says, see, it's not about that, it's about flavor. So they don't necessarily follow, they do whatever they feel like. That you neither get the preparation nor any flavor. At least the smartest get a form. You just have to add some, you know, some flavor. The other ones get nothing. So this Niyamagraha, it always goes. So point is this, we're following the form. It's secondary to the attitude of pleasing Krishna. In other words, the devotion to Krishna is primary. And then following the rules and avoiding, you know, the mistakes is in support of that. So the two go together. You can't separate them. You know, the cooking is a particular entity. It manifests through the pots and pans. So you can say, oh, it's not about the pots and pans, it's about the cooking. And you can say that because somebody might get into, oh, if I don't have this pan, I can't cook this, that. So no, it's about the cooking, the pans support it. But if you say then, oh, we don't need pots and pans, we just cook without pots and pans, you have to be foolish. So that's the thing. The one is, I have all the pots and pans, I'm perfect. The other is, we don't need any pots and pans, I'm perfect. And meanwhile, the cook's in the kitchen cooking, and these other two can argue outside. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada.